The scripture reading this morning will come from Galatians 4, verses 18 through 20. Galatians 4, 18 through 20. But it's good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, from whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you.
Earl Nightingale, a motivational speaker, once said that people with goals succeed because they know where they are going. If we fail to set goals, we find ourselves with a certain lack of direction in our lives. Perhaps you've heard the expression, some people plan to fail simply because they fail to plan. They have failed to set some goals, some aspirations for themselves, and so they have no way of measuring any type of success or any type of achievement in our lives. When we think about that spiritually, we ought to realize that we as Christians need goals in our lives. We need an idea of being able to look and say, Are we moving forward? Are we progressing in our spiritual lives? Are we growing to be more and more as God would have us to be with the passing days and years of our lives? Have we set some kind of goals? One of the verses that would certainly come to mind would be Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. Set your affections on things that are above and not on things on the earth. Do we have a goal set that says, I'm going to reach heaven? I'm going to have an eternal life with God. Are we able to look to His Word and see a measure of, are we progressing towards that goal and towards that end? That's the idea that I want to look at this morning, even from Galatians chapter 4, and particularly in verse 19, as Paul is writing to the churches, the congregations here that are in the region of Galatia, and he says, I'm laboring that Christ might be formed in you. That's what is trying to be achieved here, what he wants to see happen in their lives. And when you think about the context of the book of Galatians, that verse is written in, this is a statement of rebuke. This is a statement of challenge. Who is Paul writing to? I'm writing to Christians. I'm writing to the churches that are in this region of Galatia. And yet he's telling them, I want to labor to see Christ formed in you. Why? Because at the present I don't see it. Because at the present that goal has not been achieved. And so there's something to work at here. There's something to labor for. You begin thinking about things that Paul is writing within this book. And so far, you could back up into chapter 1 and beginning in verse 6, he tells them, I marvel that you are so soon removed or turned away from the gospel of Christ. You've been turned into a perversion because any time you change the Word of God, it's no longer the Word of God. It's the Word of men. And I marvel that you quickly received the gospel, but just as soon as I left, you listened to others who have turned you from the gospel of Jesus Christ unto another. He says, I see in you, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, that you have been bewitched, that you would not obey the truth. You know what's right, but now someone has turned you, and they've turned your mind from following after the gospel of Jesus Christ. You could go into chapter 4 and verse 11. He says, I worry that I have labored in vain. Was all that effort worthless? Was preaching and teaching you the gospel worthless because you're just going to go and turn from it? You see that fear again as he tells them in chapter 5 and verse 4. Christ has become of no effect in you, if you seek to be justified by the law. You've allowed these to come and to teach you that it's not enough to just be obedient unto the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they're binding upon you certain aspects of the Old Testament law. And as long as you're seeking to be justified by that law, Christ is of none effect to you. You're going back into a system that's been fulfilled and removed and no longer of any effect. And you have removed yourself from the grace of Christ. And so he tells them, you did run well. But what has hindered you? In chapter 5 and verse 7. And so when he talks of Christ being formed in them, this is a statement of rebuke. There's something that's lacking. There's something that's missing. It needs to be built up. It needs to be fixed, even here in this area. But I also want you to look back there in chapter 4 and verse 19 once again and realize it is a statement of great love. It is a statement of affection. It is a statement of compassion. It is a statement of hope for them because Paul knows what is possible. You listen to the gospel once. If you will listen to it once again, Christ can be formed in you. You can enjoy the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can continue on walking faithfully with Him. As He addresses them there in that verse, He says, "My little children." There's the loving language of a parent that is speaking in love to his own children. There is compassion. He's trying to help them grow up and to be growing into maturity. You see, I might label it a certain measure of frustration. There's a certain measure of maybe anxiety. I worry for you. I worry about you. I worry about the direction that you are taking. But in compassion, He hasn't given up on them. He's willing to expend Himself to help them and to help them grow. In fact, as you continue in that verse, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I labored and I worked among you in time past, even as we preached the gospel unto you, and I'm willing to do that even again. I'm willing to keep on laboring. I'm willing to keep on expending effort here." Spoken of even in the pangs of childbirth is what Paul is referencing here. Just as a mother is willing to endure those pains to bring forth the child that she loves and is going to now help grow and nourish. That's the image that we have of Paul. That's the love and compassion with which he is writing unto them that Christ might be formed in you. It was the goal that Paul had for them, and I want to suggest to you it would be a wonderful goal that we would still set for ourselves. To ask ourselves, is Christ formed in us? And so as we think about that, maybe we would first recognize that there is a goal that Paul is speaking of. And that goal is that they would be Christ-like. I want to see Him in you. He had previously talked about Himself in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. As an example, He said of Himself, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." That's what I long for you. I'm dead. I'm crucified. I died to myself. I died to my old man of sin. But Christ lives in me. And so, yes, in the flesh I continue in this life, but I'm living that life that is driven by faith. I'm driven that life in which we can look to Paul and we can understand here is a man that's seeking to glorify God in all that he does. And so he would ask of them, "Would you not even be as I am?" In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 12, "Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am." Would you grow to live as Paul? Would you grow to be like him? Not because he's the ultimate example, but because he's showing that possibility. He's setting forth that example that even they can look to, and that they might be like him. Who is he? He's one living for Christ, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. To the Christians of Philippi, he would write in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21 of his desire. What kind of life is it that you want to live, Paul? According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I should be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What kind of life, Paul? One that's going to glorify, magnify Christ in all that I do. If I live, I'm going to magnify and glorify Christ. If I die, I'm going to be a death that's going to magnify and glorify Christ. And so one who is seeking to please Him in all things. That's His desire for them. For Christ to be formed in you. That's the goal. Of this word formed, West writes concerning it that it is to give outward expression of one's inward character. The outward expression of one's inward character. We might think of it in this manner. We typically use it more in the expression of maybe the athlete's form. You begin studying and looking into sports, and you'll hear people talk about someone's form. And what we're talking about is here is someone that has practiced. Here is someone who has learned. Here is someone that has trained to know how to be their best. And so you think of, particularly what comes to mind for me is the golfer. And so he has learned about his stance. He's learned about how to hold his knees. He's learned about how to hold the club. He's learned about how to swing. He's learned about how to have that follow through after he swings. All of that is summed up in that idea of form. And we'll talk about his form. What are we talking about? Well, again, here's one that has trained and learned and practiced, and you're seeing it all be brought together as he tries to perfect that sport. He's trying to perfect that which he is doing. That's what we're talking about here in this idea of form. Do you see, it's not the literal idea of taking a certain shape or molding a substance, but it is the action of an individual giving outward expression to his true inward nature. He knows what he's doing. Those who are on top of their game in the athletic world or any profession don't get that way by accident. And such is true for the Christian life as well. We're not going to get there by accident. It's something we're going to work at. It's something we're going to labor at. It's something we're going to learn and grow in. And it's going to show forth in our lives. That's the concept that we are talking about here. He wants these Christians at Galatia, and by extension, all of us today who are living the faithful Christian life, He wants them to be so yielded to Christ that in our outward action, we're showing our inward man. We're showing that Christ lives in us, and the life that we now live is one by faith in Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave Himself for us, Galatians 2 and verse 20. And so I know Him, I know His mind, and I'm acting and I'm living like Him. Can others see within my life that I'm living according to the inspired Word of God? Can they see that I'm walking according to the Spirit's instructions? In my words, in my attitude, in my actions toward others, does it reflect Christ living in me? Does it reflect that I'm living the life of a faithful Christian? That's what ought to be seen in us. Just as we look at the sports channel and we can talk about those who are the greatest in their sports, and we talk about how much effort they have put into it. To a certain degree, we ought to be able to look at our lives and say, I recognize in that person one who's striving to be like Christ. That Christ would be formed in you. Oh, that ought to be our desire as well. And that's spoken of throughout the New Testament. We've been speaking this month about walking carefully with Jesus. That's the theme for this month of March. And that's ultimately what this is speaking of. Philippians 2 and verse 5, I want to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let His love and compassion particularly there in Philippians chapter 2, that idea of looking unto others even more than ourselves. Let that mind be in you. Throughout the New Testament, there's so many expressions that are used to illustrate this idea. Jesus speaks of walking in the straight and narrow pathway. Jesus speaks of the farmer who has set his hand to the plow and is not looking backwards, but continuing straight on. John talks about it in the idea that we are to walk in the light as He is in the light. Paul, in other places, speaks even of this idea of the dedicated athlete that's giving his all to stretch for the prize. Paul's going to speak of the faithful soldier who is serving under the direction of someone else. All of those expressions to encourage and to exhort the Christian. You keep on walking faithfully with Christ. Here we look to Jesus and we see one who above all else set His will to do the will of the Father. John 6 and verse 38, He said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. When we think about His encouragement to His apostles in John chapter 13 and verse 34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, so you would love one another. I set the example for you. I showed you the way, that you would walk in the same steps, that you would follow after the same pattern. Paul, in writing to the Christians at Ephesus, says in Ephesians 4 and verse 13, the very idea that God has given us His Word, revealed it unto us for the very end or the purpose in Ephesians 4 and verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And when you look at that in the context, he's talking about the completed and revealed Word of God, that we can come unto the knowledge of who God wants us to be. And we're going to go forth and live it. We're going to go forth and do that in our lives. Now, don't let this be a crutch, but let us understand that is a goal that we set before us, but it is a goal that we're never going to fully perfect. I'm going to keep on striving to be more and more like Him. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer there reminds us in verse 1 and 2 that we are to run with patience the race that is set before us. This is a lifelong endeavor that we keep on pressing forward to. In fact, he's going to remind them there in about verse 4 of that same chapter, Hebrews chapter 12, you've not yet resisted unto blood. You've not yet given your life. So as long as you're in this life, keep on pressing forward. Keep on running this race. And there in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. The one who has set forth that example for us to keep living the faithful life. I'm going to keep striving to be like Him. Paul is such a great example. We look to him here and he's going to use his life as an example. Other places he uses men such as Timothy as an example to others. He uses the church at Corinth as an example unto others. He uses the church at Thessalonica as an example unto others as he's writing. But we look to Paul so often as a great example. But what did he say of himself in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13? Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I don't put myself on a pedestal or a plateau and said I've reached the height of what I can attain. I don't count myself as having apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. I keep on striving. Keep on working, and I keep on laboring. But that's the idea of having a goal before us. I want to glorify Christ in my life. I want to be Christ-like. I want to so know Him and yield myself to Him that people can see Him living in my life. That's the goal. Now, we've hit on it a little bit, but what is the means? How are we going to achieve that? Again, this is part of setting goals and breaking it into, if you will, bite-sized pieces, creating a plan. This is how I want to go from point A that I might eventually be able to reach point B. I'm going to set forth a plan. I'm going to set forth a way in which I am going to attack this, because after all, it's not going to happen by accident. I'm not just going to wake up one morning and say, I sure feel Christ-like. I'm not going to wake up and just accidentally have somebody tell me that I model those characteristics in my life. It's something that I'm going to work at achieving. And so how can I grow in that? I would suggest to you we see the answer right here in this book. We grow in knowledge. What is Paul doing? How is he helping the Christians here at Galatia? He's challenging them. And he's challenging them with the inspired Word of God. I'm showing you where you were. You quickly received the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you moved away from it. Something hindered you. Something stopped you. And so what do you need to know? You need to know what's right. And so he's writing, encouraging, and teaching them, look, you're turning back into a fleshly system. You're turning back into something that is modeled after the wisdom of God. Modeled after the wisdom of men. Because what you're doing is saying, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it the way that makes sense to me. I'm going to do it in the wisdom of men rather than following in the wisdom of God. And so throughout the book, he's showing them the Old Testament system had no life for them anymore. The Old Testament system was perfect. It was put in place by God for a point and for a purpose, but it was a schoolmaster. It was a tutor. It was one that was pointing them to Christ, to the New Testament. And he said, we're there. Now there's nothing else to go back to. There's no hope. There's no remission of sins. There's the grace of God in that sense is not there for them. And so there's no hope for them if that's what they want to return to and grasp and try to hold on to. That's the wisdom of men trying to tell God, I'm going to do it this way and you can be pleased with what I offer unto you. He's writing and showing, I've shown you the way. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It makes so many illustrations throughout this book, even that idea of going back to Abraham and his sons. There was a son of promise, and ultimately what's that pointing us to? It's pointing us to the Christ. And so time and again, he's showing them you cannot do this according to the works of the flesh. You cannot do this according to the works of men. You cannot do this according to the works of the law. But you're going to have to follow after Christ. The just shall live by faith. And again, we'll keep going back to that concept that's how Paul says I'm living in Galatians 2 and verse 20. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's the pattern Paul was walking after, and it's the pattern he wants them to walk after as well. And so you have to know God. You have to know His will. And so they need to grow in knowledge. Particularly there, we have to grow in knowledge of our Creator. We have to grow in knowledge of God, to know of His existence, to be strengthened in that knowledge. We need to grow in the knowledge of His nature. What's His character? What's He like? What is He pleased with? Ultimately, to grow in knowledge of His will. How does He want us to live? What does He expect of us? Consider for a moment a trio of verses. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10, Paul would write, Colossians 3 verse 9 and 10, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You were created in the very image of God, and part of the challenge now of growing to know God is what is He like? How do I grow to be more and more like Him? A sister verse to that, if you will, is going to be found in Ephesians chapter 4, where he writes much the same thing to the Christians at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 22 through 24, again he writes that you put off concerning the former conversation, former manner of life of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's who you were. That's how you were walking. You were walking in the image of men, in your own ways. And now, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I'm walking to a completely different pattern. I'm walking to a completely different step now. I'm not walking according to my own lust. I'm not walking according to the will of the world. I'm walking according to the will of God. The final verse in that trio that I might point out to you is going to be found in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Here Paul writes and he says, according as His divine power, speaking here of God, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given us everything that we need. Everything that we need to know how to live upright in this life. Everything that we need to live godly lives. How that I can know Him and how that I can know His will. How that I can be pleasing unto Him in His sight. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. I look at 2 Peter 1 and verse 3 in kind of a dual nature. What has God done? Through His Word, He's revealed Himself unto us. Now in the knowledge of God, I can live according to how He would have me to live, a life of godliness and a life of glory and a life of virtue. Why? Because I know God. I know His character. I know His nature. But there's something else that I believe Peter's diving into even deeper. It's not just that we know God. We know the mind of God. Because He's revealed it to us in His Word. And so the more that I study and the more that I learn, I'm learning about God. I'm learning about His nature. I'm learning about His dealing with men. I'm learning about His expectation. And so He's revealing Himself to me that I might know Him and I might know His will for the very purpose that I might be more and more like Him. And so that I can have, as Paul is speaking of there in Galatians 4 and verse 19, Christ formed in me. There's a reformation of life. And it's a reformation of life, as we talked about, that's not a outward expression that affects us inward. It's an inward expression that is shown outwardly. Think about what Jesus says in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 in verse 20 through verse 23. Jesus said, that which cometh out of the man is that which defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Those wicked things, He said, they proceed from within and they come out of a man. Verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So if you want to be transformed, if you want to be renewed, what has to change? It's the mind of men. It's your mind. And so we look to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. That's why we have this encouragement here by Paul. Mind what's going in. Pay attention to what we're feeding on. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Feed your mind with those things that it might change what's coming out in our lives. We change the mind and it is shown in our lives. Let's back that up with Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. This is the verses of transition in the book of Romans. We've spent 11 chapters talking about salvation that God has made possible in Christ Jesus. He's talked about the mercy of God that has revealed this unto us, provided for this salvation for all men. And now in chapters 12 through 16, a very practical application to the life of the Christian. Here's now how you go and live because of what Christ has done for us. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, again, I would say that's the summarization of the first 11 chapters, God's salvation. By the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world. That's the idea of forming in the sense of a mold. I always think there of the old Jell-O molds. You know, it's going to take that shape of what you put in it. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be shaped and changed by it. Rather, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, the growing in knowledge of God. What is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God that He speaks there? You can see for yourself, and the world is going to see as well as you live it, that it is good. But you are transforming yourself by the knowledge of God, by what He's revealed unto us. That's the idea of a metamorphosis. That's the idea of a change from the inside out. That's the idea that we're talking about, Christ being formed in us. We grow to have the mind of Christ. We grow to be more and more like Him, and it shows forth in our lives. Beautiful expression of that is found by the psalmist in Psalm 19 and verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O my Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. How I want to please God. And I'm going to do so by growing to know Him. Likewise, closely associated with that, the way of which we grow to know Him is by growing to know His Word. Because that's where He has revealed Himself to us. Again, the psalmist writes, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Psalm 119 and verse 111. When used properly, he says in verse 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's going to guide and it's going to direct me. It's going to show me the way in which I ought to be walking. I'm going to need to grow in the knowledge of His word. Make reference there as well to 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. He's given us all that we need. He's asking us to live these holy lives, these lives that are glorifying unto Him, but He's given us what we need. He's revealed unto us the knowledge if we will come to know Him and walk therein. And so again, Colossians 3 and verse 10, we have put on the new man that is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. I grow to know God. I grow to know His Word that He has revealed in us. And then I walk faithfully with Him. Paul speaks in Romans chapter 6. Of who you yield yourselves servants to obey. And he gives the exhortation in Romans 6 and verse 13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. That's where you were, dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2 and verse 1. But no longer yield yourself there, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now live for Him. You have been quickened, going back Ephesians 2 and verse 1, you've been quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You've been made alive, now serve God. Walk with Him. Romans 6 and verse 17, God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form or that pattern of doctrine which was delivered unto you by the very gospel of Jesus Christ. And so grow in knowledge of God and grow in knowledge of His will. What I want to propose to you is we do more and more of that, is we see the beautiful image that Jesus speaks of in John chapter 14. As He's talking there to His disciples and telling them that it's expedient that He must needs go away, ultimately He's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to guide them into all truth, to remind them of all things that He has taught and instructed them, that it could be recorded for us even today. Remember the statement that He made in John 14 and verse 8 and 9? Philip saith unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest then thou, Show us the Father? What Jesus is able to show us is I am the very embodiment of all the characteristics and the nature of God. I've come and I've lived among you, and you have seen God, and you've seen Him in me because of those characteristics. The challenge for us is, as Christ is formed in us and we go forth into the world ought to be able to see those characteristics in us. That they can see Christ living in us, even as Jesus was able to say, you can see God living in me. You see His nature. You see His character. Because He did always those things that pleased Him. And so, Colossians 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of or by the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. The very idea there, that we would know Him and we're going to follow Him because we're walking according to His word. That's the means of how we're going to attain the goal of being Christ-like. Now, final point this morning, I want to think about the idea then that there is a result. When we do that, what is it going to look like in our lives? There is going to be a Christ-like mission. We're going to be driven to be like Him. Again, let me take you back to Galatians 2 and verse 20. You want to see an example of this in action? It's Paul. I've been crucified with Christ. I put that old man to death, but nevertheless I live, yet it's not I that live, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm living for Him, and it has transformed my life so that He's able to say in places like 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, be ye followers of me even as I am also of Christ. Inasmuch as I'm following Him, you walk in the same things. Again, that doesn't glorify Paul, that glorifies Christ. That we ought to be more and more like Him. What does that look like? Well, looking and finding the characteristics of Jesus and being more like that. So that we might look to things such as Luke 19 and verse 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, then is it any surprise that's the very challenge that He gives to His apostles as He's ready to ascend back into heaven in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20. Go therefore into all nations, or go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Go and take that same challenge upon you. Go and take that same mission. If you're living like Christ and He came to seek and save the lost, go seek and save the lost. And we find them in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 as the Christians are scattered abroad. It says they went everywhere preaching the word, Acts 8 and verse 4. And so learning about Jesus, learning about what He taught, learning about what He did, and putting that into action in our lives. We're told in Ephesians 5 and verse 1, be therefore imitators, followers. We look to God. Be therefore imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice and a sweet-smelling savor. You be like Christ. You be imitators of God. You're following them. You're following their example. John puts this very practically in the book of, or the epistle of 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You see him, you see what he did, you imitate that. You follow that in your life. So that, verse 17, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, there's the practicality. You see Jesus, you see what he did, and you go forth and live it. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16, Jesus says, when you do so, you're going to be the light of the world. You're going to be the salt of the earth. You're going to be shining forth as his disciples in this world. Writing to the Christians at Philippi, Philippians 2, verse 15 and 16, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of light, or word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain and neither labored in vain. When it's showing forth in your life, Paul says then I know I haven't labored in vain. To the Christians at Galatia, I worry. I worry that maybe I labored in vain because I don't see Christ formed in you. I don't see you living for him. I don't see it shining forth in his life, your life. Instead, I see you turning from him, away from the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Instead, I want to see him once again formed in your life. The very idea that we should be like our master. Jesus said in Luke 16 and verse 40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. When you're growing into maturity, he says you're going to be more and more like your master. You're learning from him and imitating that in your life. That's Christ being formed in you. That's the goal that Paul is setting forth for the Christians here of Galatia, and it's the goal also that we set forth for ourselves. It's one that we can look to and say, well, there's my goal. I want to be Christ-like. The means, how I'm going to accomplish that is coming to know God and to know his will. And then I've got to put it into action, and I can judge, I can measure. Am I approaching that goal? Am I moving in the right direction? Because I know what it's going to look like. I know the goal because it's a Christ-like mission. I'm living for him. I'm looking like him. I can see it and others can see it in my life. So can we say that Christ is formed in us? Are we walking carefully with him and letting him shine forth in our lives to a lost and dying world? Again, that's Paul's plea for the churches here of Galatia, and should continue to be our goal even today. That's the invitation that comes to us this morning. Are you glorifying God? Are you shining forth Christ in your life because he is formed in you? There might be one here this morning who says, I don't know Christ. I don't know his will. I don't know what it is that I'm supposed to do. We would love the opportunity to sit down, study God's word with you, that we can learn those things. Not man's opinion, but what has God revealed to us? Perhaps there's one that says, well, I know what it is that I ought to be doing, but I haven't done it. I haven't put it into practice. The question is, why not even this morning submit yourself unto the will of God? Enjoy that which they did in the first century. They humbled themselves unto God. They submitted to his will. And so we find them crying out, what do we do? Acts 2 and verse 38, the answer comes forth to repent and to be baptized. those who did that, not just there in Acts 2, but so many great examples throughout that book, they humbled themselves unto God. Having heard the word, they believed it. They repented of their sins. They confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They were baptized, immersed in water for the remission of their sins. That old man was crucified, put unto death, rising again as a new creature. The Lord added them to the church. That's the beautiful pattern of the book of Acts. And when they did that, they went on their way rejoicing. And we can enjoy that same salvation, that same hope, even this morning, some almost 2,000 years later. Perhaps that's the invitation to you this morning. Perhaps it is that we're a little bit like the Christians at Galatia. We knew the truth, but we turned from it, and it's time to come home once again. I'm thankful for letters like Galatians. Paul hadn't given up on them. As long as they were in this life, he's continuing to hold forth hope. Oh, there needed to be some change in their life. But he gave them that opportunity. He taught them what was wrong, taught them how to come home. You can come home today. I know you have a family here that's going to surround you, love you, lift you up in prayer, and encourage you to continue in that which is right. Perhaps all of us can go forth with a greater encouragement to examine our lives. Is Christ formed in me? Is he showing forth in my life? That's the invitation this morning. If we could help you with it in any way, why don't you come forward, let it be known as together we stand as we sing.